Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today we are coming to you from the Breadbox Media booth here at the Catholic Marketing Network Trade Show in Lancaster, PA, and my guest is Abby Johnson, who really doesn't need an introduction, but we'll give one anyway. She was hired by Planned Parenthood in 2005 and progressed to the position of Community Services Director and Health Educator, where she served as liaison between the community and Planned Parenthood as media correspondent. Later, she was promoted to Health Center Director. She ran both the family planning and abortion programs. In 2009, she left Planned Parenthood and joined the local Coalition for Life as a volunteer. She continues her volunteer activities and now works on projects with things such as the 40 Days for Life campaign, promoting the film Unplanned, based off her book of the same name, and working with her own ministry called And Then There Were None. Welcome to the show, Abby.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So I guess where I want to start is, obviously, Unplanned, the movie, has been a huge success. Mainstream media doesn't want us to know that, but like most things, they don't. How has the success of the movie impacted you?
You know, I think it's... I mean, it was a little unexpected, honestly, for me. You just never know how successful something like that's going to be. It's sort of, you feel like it's sort of a niche market, you know,
right.
There's only a certain group of people that are going to want to take interest in this, but it was really wildly popular, even outside of the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the coolest part for me was just waking up every day to people emailing me, messaging me on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, saying, I walked into your film pro-choice, I walked out pro-life. I walked in as a critic, fully expecting to just tear you apart on social media, and I walked out pro-life. And that was really the whole point of doing the film.
Right.
You know, I mean, I wanted to not, I mean, I don't really... I wasn't like, oh, I want to make Abby Johnson a household name, right? That wasn't why I did it. I wanted to convert hearts and show the truth about abortion. And then also, hopefully, bring about a lot of healing to people who have experienced abortion. Because we have truly a post-abortion epidemic
mm-hmm.
in our country. So many people who have been affected that are in need of healing. And so to show them, look... If God can forgive somebody like me, who participated in over 22,000 abortions, who had two abortions of her own, God can forgive you too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it seems with the release of Unplanned and the attention it has received, do you see things changing in the pro-life movement? Like, it seems like there's a big shift, and it's in our favor.
Yeah, I think people are really emboldened by the film. We've seen a lot of pro-life legislation come, you know, after the release of the film, state legislation. I think it's sort of pushed the boundary in some way, you know. There's never been another film like it.
Right.
So we've had pro-life films that have been great, but there's never been a film that actually was like, here's abortion, here's what it is, and exposed Planned Parenthood as a corporation in the way that Unplanned did. Okay. And, you know, we intentionally did that. I mean, we really went, you know, right up to, you know, toes to the line, like how far can we go? Mm-hmm. And that was very intentional. I mean, we did want to shake things up with the film.
Okay. So turn back the clock a little bit. What inspired you to write the book to begin with? I mean, that's where everything started.
Mm-hmm.
What was the driving catalyst behind that?
So I had no interest in writing a book. I actually hate writing. But I kept getting phone calls and emails from publishers asking me if I would ever be interested in writing my story. And I kept saying, no, not interested at all. Hate it. And finally, my husband, after, you know, so many emails, he said, you know, Abby, have you actually like prayed about this? I mean, maybe this would be a good thing, you know, for you to do.
Yeah.
And so I started praying about it, and I really felt like, number one, it might be healing for me to sort of just get everything out in the open, to just become vulnerable and just to sort of expose it all in that way. But also, I felt like if I worked at Planned Parenthood and some jerk like me left and wrote this tell-all book about this corporation that I was working at, mm-hmm. I would pick it up and read it. I would pick it up and read it as a critic, but I would pick it up and read it. And I thought, what if one of those people picks it up, reads it, finds truth, and leaves?
Yeah.
Then it's worth it, right? Yeah. And so I really did it for this, really for the purpose of getting clinic workers out of the abortion industry, people like me. And then it went on to spur my ministry, and then there were none. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just been sort of like a snowball since then.
So what was your role in the filming process of the movie? Were you a consultant? Were you on set?
Yeah, I was on set quite a bit. I had final approval of the script, so they sent that to me, and then I made changes or whatever, and then signed off on everything. Yeah, I had nothing to do with casting because I know nothing about that. You know, I was like, I'll love everybody and want to cast everybody, so I'm not qualified. But I did go on set. I wanted to be there for the key, like, pivotal scenes in the film. I mm-hmm. wanted to make sure that they were done, like, in a really authentic way.
So I think many of us forget that being pro-life covers many different aspects, from conception to natural death. You recently took a trip to the U.S.-Mexico border mm-hmm. in a display of that truth. Can you tell us a bit about that trip and what all it entailed and what you saw?
Yeah, I wanted to go down there, and, you know, we were being told that once people leave detainment, so we went down to McAllen, which McAllen, Texas is the largest port of entry in the United States. So you have about 22,000 people a week coming through that port of entry seeking asylum legally into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is they must go through detainment. They have to be verified. Children with them have to be verified that they are their children. They're not being trafficked, you know, all of that. And then after that's done, they go into a respite center, and that's where the sponsor family, the family that's going to petition their citizenship, they meet with the family there. They go then to live with that family or whatever, you know, the sponsor family sort of hosts them and takes care of them. And so the respite centers are greatly underfunded. They're nonprofits. The majority of them are funded by Catholic charities. And so they need supplies. And on any given day, they could have anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people come through their center a day. And they need supplies that we wouldn't even think about. So in detainment, everyone's shoelaces are taken because shoelaces could be a weapon.
Okay.
So when they come out of respite, they're like shuffling around in their shoes without shoelaces. So every day, the respite centers are potentially having to provide 500 to 1,000 pairs of shoelaces, right? So things like that. The kids, their toys are generally confiscated. Rosaries, those can be used as like physical weapons. We know it is a good weapon. and so all of, you know, any sort of like religious paraphernalia is confiscated. So, and there's a lot of kids. So about like 40 to 50% of the people that go through the respite centers are children. They're minors. And so we wanted to just be able to provide just those basic things, you know, like shampoo, diapers, formula, bottles, things like that. And so we petitioned the pro-life movement and said, look, we're going down here. We need your help. We were able to gather over $120,000 in support and supplies. We had an 18-wheeler and a driver donated to us. We filled up an 18-wheeler full of supplies, drove it down to McAllen, and took the day to unload. And it was really, it was just a beautiful thing to be able to help people who are really in need.
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing that, I've picked up and that was mentioned today at the luncheon was that you're not afraid to take things on when you see things there. When you were there, there was a group of congressmen there. Can you just tell us a little bit about what happened there? Just
so we, you know, we had this big 18-wheeler and there was a group of us that went down there. And so one of the car loads of people with us actually got there before I did. And they called me and said, we can't get the 18-wheeler on the street. There's a bunch of Congress members here and they've blocked off the road where our truck needs to go. And so I was furious. So I walked in like Jesus flipping tables, angry. Like I walked into that respite center and there they were in their suits and their starch pants. And they were there basically for a photo op. And they gave the center $1,000. 20 congressmen gave $1,000 to the center, and they were impeding our ability to drop off over $120,000 of supplies.
Nice.
So I walked in and walked right up to their press conference, basically shut the whole thing down, and said, we're here to unload all these supplies. If you really care about these people, if you really want to show that you're not just pandering to them, then why don't you come and help us unload this truck? Jackie Spire looked at me and said, well, we really don't have time. We have another press opportunity we have to get to. They moved the press conference to a different place in the respite center where I wasn't standing. And we're there for another 30 minutes answering questions. They didn't have time, but they had another 30 minutes to talk about how wonderful they were for showing up to the respite center. They gave like, they took a picture with some of the children there, giving them like dollar store toys for a photo op. And I was really, really mad. And I kept challenging them. Like, I just kept being like, okay, we're still here. We're unloading the truck. Come on. Like, come help us. Come help us. And at one point in time, we saw Representative Vicente Gonzalez, who is from Texas. These are his people. Okay. This is like his districting. Yep. This is his people. We see him walk by an hour later. Like, I guess they went to go have lunch somewhere. We see him walk by an hour later and we're like, hey, Representative Gonzalez, here we are unloading the truck. Come help us. He looked at us, waved his hand to us and said, oh, I'll send someone. And of course, nobody ever came.
Unbelievable.
And it's just for me, like, I'm just so tired of people putting politics over people. And that's exactly what these congressional members were doing. They were just there for a photo op. They're not actually there to help. Mm-hmm. They're not actually there to get their hands dirty. They're just there to look good and take a picture.
Right. So what can we as lay people do to pitch in and combat that? I mean, what roles can we play?
So we have we started a website called bottlestotheborder.com, mm-hmm. and super easy. We don't have a campaign going on right now, but we listed all of the respite centers out there that have wish lists available on Amazon. So people can just go to the website and then you can click on an Amazon wish list from respite center and you can send supplies. And people get really especially conservatives, they get really obnoxious when it comes to this border issue, and they're mm-hmm. You're helping people who are illegal, and I'm our primary focus is to help children who are dragged here at no fault of their own,
right,
who need help. I don't care what you think about the border crisis. I'm not for open borders. I'm not for lawlessness, but I do know that when people need immediate help, our responsibility as the church is to help them, to
right.
provide for their basic human rights. And people are the people that are here illegally, they're criminals, they shouldn't get help. Okay, so people who commit crimes that are Americans that are in our prison system, they shouldn't get meals every day. They shouldn't have basic hygiene requirements met. Mm-hmm. We have to support people's basic human dignity, no matter what country they come from, no matter if they're guilty or innocent. That is part of Catholic doctrine.
Yeah.
That is part of who we are as Catholics. And it's our responsibility to be the church in these times of crisis.
Mm-hmm. So switching it back to Unplanned a little bit in the pro-life movement, there's those of us listening today that kind of, you said it yourself, I was never an author. I didn't want to write this book, and there may be those out listening today that want to help, but they don't feel they can. What avenues do they have to help in the pro-life movement?
There's so many ways that you can help. So local pregnancy centers need volunteers all the time. They don't get $500 million from the government mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood does. They thrive off of volunteer help. So maybe that's you. Maybe you could go volunteer a couple hours a week, 1 hour a week, a couple hours a month. Whatever you could give them, they would take it. Go and stand and pray out in front of your abortion facility. You can go anytime you want. It doesn't have to be during a 40 days for life, because guess what? All the other days of the year, abortions are still happening, not just during 40 days. So you can go out anytime and pray on the sidewalk and be that last line of hope for women walking mm-hmm. in who feel like they have no hope. And a lot of people are I'm a stay-at-home mom. What can I do? First of all, your contribution as a stay-at-home mom and raising little pro-life warriors is probably the most important contribution to the pro-life movement. So don't ever feel I'm not doing enough because I'm just a stay-at-home parent. No. You're not just anything. You are the most important component in the pro-life movement right now, because you're raising up the next generation to fight this battle. But if you want to do something actively in the pro-life movement, one of the places I always encourage people to go is to look on chat rooms. Babycenter.com has online chat rooms where moms go in, and maybe their baby has had an adverse diagnosis. Maybe they're feeling overwhelmed. There are a lot of threads in there, women who are contemplating abortion. So you could be that voice of hope. You could find out where they live, get them plugged into a local pregnancy center. They have Facebook groups that you mm-hmm. could join for moms where there's a lot of talk about termination and abortion. You can go and be that pro-life voice, and it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap up today, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your own apostolate, and then There Were None.
Yeah, so we've helped right at 550 former abortion clinic workers or abortion clinic workers leave their jobs and become former abortion clinic workers. We lead them into a relationship with Christ and help them along the path of healing. We provide transitional financial assistance so that they, when they decide this is evil and I have to get out, they can get out immediately. They don't have to mm-hmm. worry about where their next paycheck is going to come from. We have healing resources for them, spiritual guidance for them. We get them plugged into their local pro-life community if that's what they desire. So it's really sort of a full service, comprehensive ministry for these workers, and it's transformational for them, and just being Christ to them, mm-hmm. and showing them the grace and the mercy that Christ has for them is life-changing for all of us.
Awesome. So I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule today. I know it's been pretty packed. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I just want people to be encouraged and to get out there and fight. Abortion is an issue for all of us. I cannot end abortion on my own. Other pro-life leaders cannot end abortion on their own. Abortion's happening to people who are in the pews of our church. This is a human rights violation of the greatest kind, and we must all get involved. Don't wait for somebody else to do the calling that God has put on your life.
Absolutely. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.